job application in, but you know, you should also be keeping your ears open for the people that you know. And so anyway, I kind of want to talk about that. I want to talk about knowing God, you know. Like when I was at school and when I was at uni, I used to really like having, you know, debates with people about Christianity, about my faith. And you know, there was something that, I don't know, I enjoyed about that. I don't know if everybody enjoys that. Some people dread it. I don't know. But for me, like, I don't know what it is in me or in my genes that means that I am keen for the debate. But, you know, I never once convinced somebody to become a Christian by winning a debate. Like, for all of the theological arguments, no one ever got saved. For the religious discussion, nobody came to church. It just doesn't work, yeah? Like, I was not bad at doing it, and I could often win an argument, but it never brought anybody to Jesus. You know, because it's not about what you know. It's not about what you can learn about Christianity. Like, you're not going to win an argument and win a friend at the same time. It never works. You can win one or the other, but you'll never get both. And I guess I've just really been challenged myself, like, not to put stress into, you know, arguing or whatever, but just, you know, lead people to Jesus. Because, you know, no one's ever going to be convinced by the proof of Jesus, but they'll always be convinced by the person of Jesus. And when, like, someone meets Jesus and they know him, then it changes everything, yeah? So it's not what you know, but it's who you know. You can't stay at a head level. You know, if I can be talked into something, then I can be talked out of something. It doesn't, like, it needs to come from a relationship and from a revelation of who Jesus is and what he did for you, and not some good argument about creationism. Like, that is not going to win somebody for God. And as we go about our lives and we do our day-to-day stuff, then I want to be someone that brings my friends to Jesus, my friend, not indoctrinates them into a religion, yeah? So I want to talk about knowing God, yeah? Not knowing about God, but knowing God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 8, it's interesting. Paul's talking about the knowledge that people have. And he says, like, in verse 1, it says, "Now about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge." So he's like, you know, we all know that, you know, that stuff sacrificed to idols is meaningless and blah, blah. He says, we know the stuff. But then he says, "But knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not know yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God." And I was just like, when I read that, I was just like, oh man, I just want to be known by God and not know lots about God. Like, not know lots about being a Christian, but actually, like, know Christ. And the difference there is so, you know, extreme, yeah? I don't want to be someone that, you know, wins lots of arguments and loses lots of friends, or someone that, you know, puts a barrier between someone and God because of food sacrificed to idols. I think, like, you know, that's probably not a thing that we talk about these days. And you know, well, people still do it. You know, you go to a Thai restaurant and they sacrifice, you know, there's the orange up in the shrine. So it's always an orange. Is that just me? You know, so that stuff, it happens. But that's not really the thing in our age that is a worry. But there are things that we know that our friends and the people that we work with, the things that they do that we do not agree with, but that we would let be a barrier between them coming to know God instead of just showing them love. And so my knowledge that what they're doing with their spare time is wrong, or the things that they're putting into their life, my knowledge that is wrong does not help them. It might make me feel better and self-righteous, but it doesn't love them. It doesn't show them the love of God. It doesn't help somebody meet Jesus. And so, like, that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight is, you know, knowing God and knowing Jesus, so that when, like, I talk to a friend, I introduce Jesus like I'm introducing them to a friend. Not a doctrine. So that's kind of my message. I've got some points. I struggled to come up with good titles for my points. So I'm just not going to worry too much about that. But I'm just going to talk a bit about, I guess, how we can know God and what that means and what it means to know God more, and the difference between an intellectual thing that we argue about and a relationship. relationship, yeah? And so first one is kind of like, it's not about information, it's about relationship. You know, we live in an information age. I'm sure you've heard that before. And you know, if you want to find out about something, you just look it up. You know, I'm never curious about anything anymore for more than about 30 seconds because, like, as soon as I wonder, I can just, like, Wikipedia it on my phone and I go, okay, cool, I know. And so, like, within a minute, I can pretty much know anything that I want to know in the world. That's just the world that we live in. You know, you watch a movie and you're like, who's that person in? And like 2 seconds later on IMDb, I've found out. Like, you know, if you want information, you can find it. You know, you meet somebody and so then you, maybe you look them up on Facebook and you can know stuff about them, yeah? But God isn't something that you can look up and learn about. God is someone that you need to get to know. And that is so different, yeah? And like, you know, if you make a friend, like the Facebook thing, and you don't actually get to know that person by reading their Facebook. Like, you maybe find out what they're interested in, maybe what they did, maybe what they ate for breakfast. I don't know. But, like, you don't actually get to know them as a person. You know, you need to spend time with them and talk with them and do things together. And that's actually, you actually build a relationship with somebody, yeah? And it's exactly the same with us and God. It's not about, well, how much stuff can I know about God and how much information can I get. And so that when somebody asks me, you know, I've got the facts, I can talk to them about, you know, the proof of the evidence for the Bible. Like, that's great if you can, but, you know, I've never seen anybody care really that much. You know, I really, honestly, the only people who care about that are Christians. So, you know, I think somebody cares that God loves them and has chosen them, that Jesus died for them, that he gave himself for them because he has a plan and a purpose for their life and he loves them more than anyone. I think people want to know that they're accepted and loved. Not know how many scrolls we dug up in the Himalayas or whatever. You can tell I don't care. You know, we were talking in Life Group this morning about how, like, Elijah and Moses and, like, these prophets in the Old Testament just had this crazy relationship with God where they would argue with God. And they just knew God so close. And it's so cool. And I was thinking about how in, like, Numbers, God's going to kill everybody because, you know, Israel have stuffed it up again. And he says to Moses, look, I'll just wipe everyone out and I'll start again with you. And we'll do it again and I'll fulfill my covenant through you. Yeah, and Moses actually argues with God and convinces God not to kill all the Israelites, which is pretty cool, yeah? But what I think is amazing is this level of relationship where God listens to Moses and talks with Moses and it's a real and active relationship, yeah? It's a two-way street. It's this thing where they talk together and I don't know, I think we get this idea that, you know, if we ask God questions, he's going to strike us down. But that's not how it's supposed to be. You know, God wants a real relationship, yeah? And he's not just going to, like, change his mind because you whinge about something. That's not what happened in that story. You know, God knows better all the time and he's always in control. But, you know, we can approach him with confidence. The Bible says that we can approach the throne with confidence because of what Jesus did and we can talk to God, yeah? You know, Christianity is not studying a topic, it's making a friend. And so when it becomes about the idea of Christianity, then you have missed the point. When the Bible comes about like a handbook or reading a list of rules, then you have missed it because it's a love letter from God. It's God trying to show himself to you so that you might know him and that he might know you. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he spent like 90% of his ministry time with those 12 disciples. He spent way more time with them than he spent preaching, which shows me what God sees as important. And so I think, like, there's a challenge for us not to get caught in like, the information of being a Christian and get caught in the relationship of being a Christian, what it means to know God and to follow him. You know, Jesus says to his disciples and to us in John 15, he says, you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And the information comes from the relationship. If you want to know stuff about God, then know God. Don't let the about be your motivation. Yeah, get to know God, spend time with Him, listen to Him. Don't just read a book or listen to a podcast. Like, come on. So it's not about information, and it's not about works. It's not about the things that we do. Now, Dad kind of shared this scripture this morning, and I was rolling in my head, and he didn't actually use the reference, so I was happy. But it says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And this is such a challenging scripture. Because, you know, we do that, I do that. You know, you preach about God, you talk about God, you do things in Jesus' name. And then he says, but I never knew you. And so you actually did evil in doing that because I don't know you. That's crazy, yeah? I mean, we get caught in this trap of like, you know, somehow I can please God by the things that I do, but you can't. That's not what it's about. You know, God already loves you. He is already excited about you. You know, He's already pleased. You do not have to give in the offering or come to church for God to be pleased with you. Now, you do those things because you love God and God loves you, not because you're trying to make Him love you, yeah? It's like in a relationship, you wouldn't do things to make somebody love you. You do things because they love you, yeah? It's really simple. Now, in Hosea 6, God says, he's talking to the Israelites in verse 6, and he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. That God wants to know you and for you to know Him. Not just have the offering and the thing. And then the mercy, I was reading like around this passage and reading about like what it meant and talking about. And that word mercy, it isn't just like, you know, when your arm like is being twisted or whatever and you say mercy or like, you know, when someone shows mercy when they should have been punished. But it means like love and kindness and covenant love. And I mean, God's saying, I want to be close to you. I want a love between us. I want you to show love to other people. I want this mercy, loving, kindness, covenant thing. Not just sacrifices, yeah? Because God wants to call us His friends. That's His desire. He wants to be close to us and that our lives would then reflect the mercy that He has shown us, yeah? So Jesus quotes this passage to the Pharisees who are caught up in like empty law and have no relationship with God. And in Matthew 12, he says, you know, he says that Jesus and his disciples were walking through the fields and they were hungry and it was the Sabbath. And so they began to pick heads of grain and eat them. It's terrible. Yeah, I've never really quite got that. I'm like, maybe cook it or something. It says, the Pharisees saw this and they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And he says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? They entered the house of God and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Well, haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temples desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that that the one greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And it goes on, and he goes and he heals this guy. But all the Pharisees can do is look for a way to kill him because he's done it on the Sabbath. And, you know, let's not be Pharisees. Let's not get caught up in like, oh, that's not very Christian, instead of loving people, yeah? Because that's what it's about. Let's not go, oh, I can't believe you did that on the Sabbath. Can't believe you showed love to that person that our society has rejected or you care for that person that the church says is doing the wrong thing. Like, why don't we show love to people and let God work that out in their heart? Yeah, amen. Now, relationship with God and being a Christian is not something that you can figure out. It's a supernatural gift. In Ephesians 3, it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure all the fullness of God. I was reading this week and just thinking, like, the thing that Paul prays for is that they would have power to understand how much God loves them. And so if you want knowledge, then that's the knowledge to pray for, the knowledge of just how much God has done for you and how much you can't do it by yourself. And, you know, not to, like, not some logical thing or not knowledge just to work out all the mysteries, but knowledge to just start to get what God has done for you and how massive that is. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where is the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased with the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. You know, we will never work it out, and that's a really good thing. It doesn't make sense that I would ever fully understand. Like, if I acknowledge that God is God and that he is so much bigger and wiser and stronger and everything than me, then why would I think that I could work it out by myself? That doesn't make any sense, yeah? It's like asking a two-year-old to understand how to, like, fix your car. They're just not going to get it and never will, like, at their age, yeah? Until they get older, you get my point. So when you go to heaven in eternity, then you'll understand, so it's all right. It's just the gift of God that means we can have a relationship with him. So I just encourage you not to pray that you'll understand more stuff, but just to pray that you'll know how much God really loves you and how much he loves your friends and your family and the people that you work with and the people that you spend your every day with, yeah? Because, like, God wants to know you and he wants to know me and he wants to know all of us more than we want to know him. And he loves us and he has chosen us, and it's not about information or rules or works or anything like that. It's about relationship, amen? I just want to, I guess, finish with this scripture. It's in Ephesians 1. And I shared this on Friday night at youth because it really just struck me when I was just reading this week. And it says in verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now, God has chosen us. Before he even made the world, he chose us. That's a long time ago and a really big deal. I think that God would, before he created anything, he chose us. And he said, I love you and I'm going to give my son for you. Before anything happened, he knew that. That's crazy, yeah? And Jesus didn't die on the cross for a religious idea. He died on the cross for you and for me, for our friends, for our family. You know, he didn't beat death and rise again so that people would think that he was right or that the teachings that he had would have merit. He did it so that I could have a relationship with God, so that you could come face to face with God and be holy and blameless in his spot. What you have done, yeah? That we would be free from sin and death and we'd have a relationship with God and we would have eternity with him in heaven. And follow Jesus. That's what it means. Ask to do your will. Just us to do.